Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
David Doval, good morning.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
PG Keen.
I hear you.
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Great.
Would you be mine? All right. It's David. It's, another week gone by. I don't know about you, but I was really happy when 5 o'clock came around yesterday because that meant only a couple more hours till I could quit.
You're almost finished.
Holy cow. No, it was good. It was good. Busy. It's a crazy week, though. Is it a full moon? Must be getting close.
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't tell by a lunar calendar. I just pay attention to what's going on around me. Anyway, we have lines open, ready to talk home improvement. Y'all last week, by the way, not you all, David. You're always awesome. Our listeners were awesome, man. We just got great questions back to back to back. It was great. It was one of those fun weeks. And so we're opening up the lines again, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We got Memorial Day weekend coming up. That means all kinds of good stuff by way of the holiday and what it means. And then also a chance to, you know, get into some things, bust out. I remember growing up in the North, this was like the big one, right? Because things were still a little chilly in the morning. You could have some chilly weather still, but it was like once Memorial Day came, you know, it was like, okay, school's out soon. So lots of good stuff. We'll spend some time this morning. David, you and I talked last week about, hey, this is a really, there's no doubt about it. I may have started last week's show the same way, that things are more expensive right now than they were a year ago. And I'm not an economist, and I won't tend to, you know, pontificate about why that is or speculate about, you know, what it's going to look like going forward. I just know it's more.
Yeah. Well, and I'm starting to get letters for fuel surcharges now,
yeah,
too.
It's only going to get, well, I said I wouldn't prognosticate, so it is what it is. But the upside of that or the side of that I would like us to focus on is like, okay, you've got things in your home, you've got investments that you've made or investments that you have to make. Let's spend a little bit of time maybe this week just talking about some very fundamental things with respect to how you protect the investments that you've got and then how you make prudent investments if you've got to do some, you know, some renovations or you desire to do some renovations and so on. Because all that stuff continues to go on and will continue to go on. It doesn't have to. We could just come to a screeching halt again. I hope that doesn't happen. We didn't do our tip of the week last week because I was in Wilmington. I didn't have jump drive with me. But we can look at the tip of the week from 2015, I think we're looking at them, and see if we're still on track with that. We'll have our Home Depot product of the week. Last week we talked about paint, and I wanted to talk about this week's product last week, actually. But it's something that it gained popularity during COVID, and like many things that come of a challenge or stressful situation, there's some stickiness to it as it as life gets back to normal. And then let's see, we were talking about a countertop calculator. I don't know if we have emails out there, David.
Yeah, we have a few.
We can catch up on that. I think that gets us. Here's what I wanted to do last week, and we just ran out of time. And you can tell me off the air, like, John, do not do that. We'll get in trouble. But I was reading like color names. I think we're just going to call it Fun with Colors. Because, you know, I was the only guy in eighth grade who still wanted to have a coloring book. That's not true, quite. It was freshman year of high school, I think. Anyway.
There was a couple others, too.
Anyway, fun with colors. We'll have a little, it won't be irreverent, but we'll be, you know, disrespectful for the people who have to name colors. And I think that gets us everything that we got to talk about. What's going on in your world, sir?
Same old thing, man. Just work.
It's good though, I guess, right?
It is. It's good. We're wrapping up at the house with most projects. We're just about down to just the driveways left, and that's the one that hurts.
Yeah, baby. Been there, done that.
Yeah, concrete's up. Again, fuel surcharges on it. It's just crazy. I wish I would have poured it sooner, but you know, you want to get all the heavy stuff done and get the heavy trucks off of it, and I was getting compaction too. So
there you go.
Yeah. So here we are.
All right. Well, let's do this. We're very close to a break, so I say we take one. We're going to sneak off for a break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Lines open. You can also go to AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button and send us a note that way. Grab a cup of coffee, grab your questions. We're going to take a break and be back to answer your questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Good morning, everybody. We have some lines open for you. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, one thing that I was just going to throw out there that has absolutely nothing to do with anything related to home improvement. It's just a thing that I've been thinking about and actually doing that I think is just good to share. So, I love breakfast, like a big breakfast out or a big breakfast in, either way, just like that's one of my favorite meals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll take any excuse to catch up with work folks. And there's a few of us that'll catch up sometimes just to catch up, sometimes to actually, you know, conduct some business and stuff. And there's this little restaurant, Reveille, near us, and it's perfect. It's, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Whitey's down in Wilmington. I love that place.
Sure.
Anyway, we've been going there, and there's a lady there who's got like young kids at home. You can tell that she needs this income. Super sweet, and this is not a paid political announcement. I'm just stating a fact. She could make more money staying at home, where her kids are. With, you know, some current situations with the government and so on. And every morning she chooses to get up and get in there and smile and take the best possible care of us. And so we've all decided, like, hey, when we tip her out, we're going to make it worth her while to be there. And I thought that'd be a good thing to share with people. When
yes.
You go to a restaurant, you know that those folks, and I know this personally because Chris, our son, is really struggling, right? He oversees those, I think, 7 restaurants, whatever it is. And he really faces a challenge where people can say, hey, I can make more money staying at home than doing what you want me to do right now.
Right.
And so he really struggles. And he gets some good people and everything's fine. But I thought, you know what? If you're there, say thanks for being here. And you know, if you're you know, 15 or 20 is your usual percentage for tipping out, just live a little, baby, and make it bigger.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we've been doing the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
I think it's just like I look at this woman. I'm like, man, I just want to stand up and hug you. And I thought, well, hugging ain't going to do anything for her bills. Here's something that'll make a difference and a lot more enjoyable than a hug from John. All right. Anyway, that's just an unpaid political. It's not even political. It's just a good living right, doing the right thing.
It's American.
There you go. Let's talk to Tyler. Tyler, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate your show. Been listening for a long time. I've got a question. We're getting ready to build a house, and we're considering some of the vertical kind of fiber cement board and batten siding.
Mm-hmm.
Is there actually a version of this fiber cement siding that that does not have to be painted, or is there one that does not have to be painted near as often? I'm just trying to think long term about, you know, cost to maintain. And, mm-hmm. and the color is going to be a white or a version of a white.
Sure.
Yeah, you can get it pre-finished from the factory.
Right.
Which is So, question: is there a version that does not have to be painted? No, everything needs to have some kind of protective, you know, primer and then final paint coat on it. But do you have to be the one to do that, or, you know, get someone out to do that? No, you can purchase it from the factory, the manufacturer, pre-painted. David, you and I think that, I mean, that's a little more expensive, but we kind of like that because it's done in a controlled environment, and probably I don't say it's better, but it's just, it's good.
Yeah, well, and I agree with what you're saying. And the only issue I think is that you have to use a siding contractor to install it that installs pre-finished siding.
Yes,
it's a different monster.
Yeah, well, you don't have to, but then you can paint your house. So the fiber cement, great product, but it does need to get painted. Now, when you ask the question, Tyler, is there a version or something you can do where you won't have to paint it quite so often? I think our answer to that would be, hey, get a quality fiber cement product and paint it with a quality paint, and you will discover that you will want to change the color before you need to repaint the house.
Most likely.
Right. It's just a very stable product once you do all the right things and so on.
Now, they do make it in a vinyl. They have a vinyl look. It's not a true board and batten, but it looks like it. You can't tell it from the street, but you know, your south and west side, unless you have big overhangs or the sun can't get on it, it's going to chalk and fade over time.
Yeah.
So you know, there's always challenges no matter what you do.
Right.
You know, the only exterior cladding that I've seen that really ever that doesn't have to have anything done to it other than wash it as brick, so unfortunately. But we chose to put siding up, and we painted on our house because it was the look we were after. I would have much rather had brick, but we just resigned ourselves to the fact that we'll have to paint again in probably about 10 years.
Okay. Well, that's that sounds in the exact same conversation that I've had. Brick is better, but the overall look of the house style, it's just not going to be conducive to brick.
Right. And if it's done right, you'll be good. I mean, you know, it'll last a long time. Two coats, make sure the house is clean before they paint it. If you paint it in the field, we used the Behr paint from Home Depot and two heavy coats. And we used a semi-gloss on the whole house. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that shine, but it tends to shed the water, and it's easier to clean. I think it's the way to go.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, Tyler.
Thanks for the
call,
Tyler. Good luck with that. Have some fun, man.
Yeah, send us some pictures.
All right, thank you.
See ya.
All right. Off we go. David, we've talked about, I mean, I like the idea of some of the really great things that they've done with vinyl siding. Suzanne and Ryan just had a house built, and they did some stuff. It's their starter house, so they were, you know, it wasn't like, let's go build the Taj Mahal. And but they did. They have some really nice shake effect on the gable at one point. And it looks really good right now. My concern is, as you say, I mean, it's in Wilmington. It's just going to get pounded by the sun and hot and then salt. I don't even know if the salt water has a bigger effect on it. It's just so many years down the road, you look at it and you're like,
I see it on a lot of houses. I mean, if you stay after it, don't let it go too long. If it's stained, you know, like we always say, a solid stain is going to probably do a better job of protecting it longer because the sun will work at the pigment versus working on the material itself. So we did it. I mean, we put a shake on the house. Now, they were panel shakes, but mm-hmm.
But it looks it's the same product. Right?
It's same. It's not even really wood, I don't think. We painted it with a heavy paint, and it looks awesome.
Looks good.
It looks really good, and it's a dark burgundy color. So it will eventually bleach some, and you know we'll have to paint it. It's just the nature of it.
That's a really good segue, though, into one of the things or some of the things that I was hoping we would talk about this morning, and that is just protecting your investment And in my outline, David, the first two things, at first it says paint, and then it says siding. And then it says attention to exterior trim. Let's try to just dice those down or break those down little by little or one at a time, I guess. First, paint has had its share of problems, not COVID-related, but actually winter storm-related when all those resin plants in Houston just got clobbered. And so there were some issues there. Some manufacturers are in fine shape. We are very grateful and very fortunate for our Behr partners who had some foresight and are in a very good spot from a product availability perspective. I think just if you're going to do something or you're going to make a decision to invest in your house this year, I'm just wondering, do you not just take an extra, do you do something with paint to protect what's already there versus maybe investing in something bigger? I don't know, another big project. I'm not discouraging people from doing things, but I just think investing or painting your siding, getting after your exterior trim, that's where we always hear the problems and challenges, right?
Yeah, and hey, get a little crazy, change the colors if you want, but here's the thing. When you pull the trigger to paint, two good coats, and you will be good for a while, I'm promising you.
Invest in the product and invest in the time, and you'll be happy. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back to that. We'll talk about decks a little bit too, I think, because there's a lot of opportunities to do some really cool things there as well. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break. We'll take your calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110 when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lines open at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Don took us up on that, so here comes Don. Good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. Don, how are you this morning?
I'm well, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, my question was, I've heard you on the program a number of times, and it seems pretty clear that paint holds up better and longer on fiber cement than the old Masonite siding. But I'm wondering about caulking. So if I invest in a fiber cement home, am I still going to be needing to caulk on a, you know, as frequently as a wood-sided home versus fiber cement? So that's my question.
It's a great question, and so you still caulking is still required. Remember, it does a lot of things, but maybe most importantly, it keeps water from penetrating and getting in places where it shouldn't. And so, around brick mold or just any protrusion or any opening into the house really does need to be caulked. The same thing that causes and just to be clear. Fiber cement, it does not expand and contract at the same rate that that some wood products do, or certainly vinyl products do. Vinyl's irrelevant because it's got its own, you know, consistent color all the way through. But what makes the fiber cement more stable from a painting perspective is its natural stability. So because it doesn't expand and contract, and because it's you don't find caulk breaking down or pulling apart as much as you would with a product that expanded or contracted more. That said, you still have to use, David, we recommend the quad product, right? For in the vinyl cement, it's a polyurethane product. It's a little messier to work with, but it was actually engineered, so to speak, to be compatible with the fiber cement products.
Well, I mean, it's and when we say messy, it's really not anything that they tell you to do with it. You won't have a problem. And one of the things is they recommend the Quad Max caulk. It was great to work with. It has the professional tips on it that are longer. They unscrew, you cut them off, and just a really good product. But I know that the OSI Quad will work too. The only problem with just the quad is that it really, if you read the directions, it says you should wait 7 days before you paint it, just simply because it needs to off gas.
And I can tell you, Don, I pushed that 7 days just in one scenario, thinking, oh, I'm smarter than the guys that made this. I can get away with that. And I did get I had to go back and fix it up because I got little bubbles under my paint in a couple spots.
Right.
But so to answer your question, the additional stability that you get with paint, you also get with caulk. If you use the right paint or the best possible paint, it's always better. The best possible caulk, it's always better. But you must caulk. It's not more or less caulking from an application perspective as a function of the fiber cement product.
Right.
Did we answer your question?
Yeah. Yep. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And just if you do that, bite the bullet and, you know, because like the quad max is like $9 a tube. I don't know how many cases I used, but it was worth it. Now that I look at the house and I go back and I'm looking, I had two places that separated and it's just because the caulk was thin and that was it. Everything else is hanging tight and it looks good. So, probably,
so I guess a second related question would be, how long would I expect that caulk to last before I have to?
I'm thinking I'll get 20 years out of that stuff. I really do, especially with the paint on it and everything that we've done. Now, that is the difference in the LP and a cementitious product, is that your wood sidings, your composite sidings or wood sidings are going to expand and contract a little more than the concrete will. So that is, and I saw that, but the two places that I had problems is where the caulk, I had it too thin. I could tell it wasn't even level with the siding. So, and they were in hard to reach spots, and that's why. So I went back and fixed them.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, man.
For the information.
Hey, yeah, and whatever you're doing, whatever siding you're putting, installing, make sure you follow the directions from the manufacturer. It's worth the quick read. But I can tell you that every siding out there that is either cementitious or wood, you really should prime all of the edges. All the edges that you cut and that you work with, you should actually prime them. And I think we had a painter a couple of weeks ago that said that he primes and paints. I bought primer and paint in one, and I just kept a roller and I just hit all my edges. And then by the time you get it put up, it's pretty close to being dry.
All right, very good.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call, Don.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
Don goes away. We look at the clock and say, oh my gosh, it's almost time for another break. So we're going to do that. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Going to take a quick break and then be back to talk more home improvement right after this. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lines open, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Let's protect your investment. David, let's talk about decks for a minute, if we could. There's some things that are just, we always talk about, and we can just hit them real quick. But if you're looking at your deck, and you're saying, gee, I really want to do something different to it. And I'm concerned that, you know, the cost is a little bit more than what I have. A little bit more. That would be an understatement. The cost is more. Anyway, you slice it. And so some things that you could do with respect to like a handrail treatment, if you are in a position maybe to really want to change out the decking, but you're like, this might not be the optimal time to invest in that. What are some options? So talk if you would for a second on some things that you've seen with handrail treatment. I'm thinking like maybe wrought iron, glass, different cable, different things that somebody could do that really give a kind of a facelift to the deck, and it doesn't have to be necessarily lumber related.
Yeah, I, any of the metals, and we've done a handful through the years of aluminum cable railing. I haven't ever done any glass. I've seen a bunch of it, but I've never been involved.
Man, I would be afraid of cleaning that though.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's probably
it's
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, you know, if you live on the lake, you certainly don't want to block your view. So it's definitely something to consider. But yeah, those are all ways to make it look better or to have a better view without using wood. I think the other thing too, though, is if you have existing railings, you know, you can two-tone your deck. I mean, I've seen a lot of people do the post one color mm-hmm. and the actual spindles another color. Mm-hmm. So if you paint the balusters, you know, maybe you want to do white. I don't know, do the top rail a different color, or maybe you do the balusters in black and you do the cap in a different color. It looks good. I mean, you know, that kind of goes right back to the paint thing. And we used to tell people that you can't really use paint on treated lumber because it's moving. But with using cedar shield now, you can.
Because it stabilizes.
You stabilize it.
So well.
It can't take moisture on. And the problem of putting a solid paint or something over a wood that is exposed to moisture on all sides, like a deck or a rail, is that it gets wet, and then when it absorbs that moisture, it pushes the paint, it pops it off.
Yeah.
And that's where you get that. So, I mean, I think that's something you can add to your arsenal now, is you'd go ahead and treat it with the cedar shield, and you could paint it. And you know, when you paint, you have a lot more options with filling. It's really no different than a solid color stain, except that if you're painting, you can get crazy and really mix some wild colors, because paint has no bounds. Because I know you're going to talk about colors, right?
Wow, listen to you. Paint has no bones.
Well, it has none.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It totally does not. That's the amazing thing.
So I think you have options. But what I'm saying is, you can fix your rails. You can fill the cracks. You can caulk. You can bondo. You could sand them, and then you could paint them, and you could probably make them look pretty new. Now, if they're twisted or warped, that's a little bit of a different story.
Yeah.
But I think you have a lot of options there.
Cool. Let me, before I go back to the decking, to the actual deck itself, the deck boards, let me do something, because I made a note. I want to talk about the Home Depot product of the week, because when you said, hey, you know, wrought iron, and we always say, hey, you do the powder coated version. And it just made me realize that I wanted to talk about this last week. There's a product that spun out of the whole COVID thing that has really, the uses have just become more and more apparent. And I was cranking through the Home Depot stuff and the products, and I found this electrostatic sprayer.
Yes.
It's like normally $319 or $329, and it's like $299. So it's not cheap, but neither is it, you know, bankrupt you. And as I was thinking about spraying the patio furniture, getting the different cleaners, Concrobium, all those different products, an electrostatic solution is really strengthy. It's the principle behind it is really simple. It just puts a charge on what's being sprayed out of the sprayer, so that if you imagined like a board in front of you, and with a conventional pump up sprayer or electric sprayer, you spray it and spray hits the board, and whatever goes around the board just goes around the board and falls somewhere. Whereas with an electrostatic sprayer, because of the charge, it wants to ground back out. So it actually wraps around the product that mm-hmm. you're spraying and grabs onto the back side of it.
Right.
Super great for cleaning, for even follow the instructions. I'm not telling you that I'm just kind of the guru of electrostatic sprayers all of a sudden, but it caught my attention because it was so important during all the sanitation stuff that went on during COVID. Now you're looking at it like, wow, more great applications.
Sure. So, and I just want to throw this in real quick. Even in the garden, it is awesome, because when you're spraying something for maybe to get rid of bugs, or you have something that's sticking aphids or whatever to the bottom of the leaves, this gets the top, but it goes around and gets on the bottom without you having to lay down and spray up underneath.
No, it's a brand that we trust, right? It's Ryobi, so you know you're not getting a brand that A is going to bankrupt you, or but B it will be dependable, and all the folks that stand behind the Ryobi brand are there backing this up also. So I just saw it at a great price, $299. It's significantly down from what it normally is, and it's a pretty cool tool. So that was exciting for me, but I do need a life. All right, let's talk to Scott. Good morning, Scott. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, guys. Doing great. Appreciate the resource.
Glad you called.
Change gears on you for a second.
Yeah.
I got a gas water heater, runs off of propane, sits upstairs. And after people have taken a shower or something is used, hot water, sounds like he has an upset stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He gurgles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Change his diet. It's just sediment at the bottom of the tank. How old is the tank, Scott?
25.
Yeah, baby. Ooh, 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 ooh. How do you spell borrowed time? Water heater. So Scott, it's just sediment at the bottom of the tank that has built up over the years. And when that gas flame, you know, heats up, it heats up the water, the sediment, and the sediment is filled with water, right? So as it gets hot, it wants to move to the top. It pops, it bubbles, and so it doesn't have an upset stomach. It's probably not going to like do anything, like, never mind. I won't say that. That's gross.
I know what you meant.
It's not going to do that. It's time to start shopping for a water heater.
Yes.
It's been doing it for a couple of years.
Yeah, it'll keep doing it until it leaks, and then you'll get rid of it and it won't do it anymore.
Okay. Yeah, and you'll
well, it's
when you
the master bathroom, so maybe some of it will get in the tub.
Yeah. Well, as long as it has a pan, you know, this is a good time for you to go up there, especially right now before it gets too hot this afternoon, and look and make sure the pan is clear. If I was you, I would take a gallon or so of water and I would dump it in the pan and make sure it makes its way to the outside and that the tube that carries the water is not clogged.
Okay. Yeah, because that comes out, it would come down right in front of the window for the master bathroom.
Yeah. Perfect. That's where it's supposed to be.
So you can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then here's the good news. When you change that water heater out, you're going to get a newer version that's going to be more efficient. So you're going to save some money on the propane, and you're going to have a better product. So,
okay, all right. Well, I think I got my life out of it anyway.
Yeah, you did.
I would say you did
good,
Scott.
Man.
I would say high five yourself because you did a good job there with your partner, the water heater.
We could park my Toyota and your water heater together.
There you go. I hear you. Well, I appreciate it. I love buying a product and they last like that.
Yep.
But
yep.
Like I say, I'll take a couple of seconds just to tell you guys, great resource, questions like that. I just wait till Saturday morning, give you a buzz, get my answers, and move on. So, thanks.
Good, man. We appreciate that.
Awesome. Thanks for that great feedback. Appreciate your kind words.
Yes, sir. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Scott. All right, we are right up against the break here, so we're going to go ahead and take it. Remember, you can give us a call. We got plenty of lines open at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You can send us a note at Ask John and Dave. Go to the website, askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button. You can send us a note that way. We're going to come back. We'll talk about a tip of the week from a few years ago, see what's still relevant. We'll talk about protecting the investment that you've got in your home, be that the deck or siding, and just general great home information when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome to hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Happy to be with you this morning. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, let's do an ADD moment brought to you by John Gordon, non-caffeine deficient challenges. Product of the week. I'm sorry, tip of the week from 2015. We said It was called I Walk the Line. When you paint a wall or ceiling, the line between the ceiling and the wall could be tough to cut in. Typically, people rely on a very steady hand or painter's tape. The former can be hard to find, a very steady hand, that is, and the latter can be time-consuming. That's L-A-T-T-E-R, can be time-consuming.
And expensive.
And, yes. Here's a little tip from our painter friend Dave Porras. God bless him. Take a number two pencil and gently draw a line at the joint of the ceiling and the wall. Not too heavy or thick, but just dark enough that you can see it. Paint to that line. Don't try to paint to the ceiling. And when you paint to the ceiling, paint to that line. The dark line actually creates an accent that looks like it belongs there, but doesn't. It allows you to get close enough to the ceiling without running up onto it. What do you think? Is that still a valid tip?
It's always going to be valid.
Boom! The timeless David Porras. All right. While we're on the topic of paint, fun with colors. Sometimes I don't understand how my mind works. This goes places that I cannot control. I know they have meds for that. I just don't take them. I was reading through, looking at all this paint stuff and, you know, protecting your investment and doing some things to kind of give you a facelift without spending tons of money. Paint's there. In the process, I just started reading paint colors. Yes. Don't draw any bad conclusions. I just did it. And I would like to share that with you, David, and our listeners. Here's some colors that I read. White heron. It's white for sure. First light. What color would that be? Crystalline. Anyway. Windmill wings. Honey, I want a comforter that goes with windmill wings. Burton blue. I'm showing my ignorance here because I'm sure that means something. Golden straw. Oh, here's one of my favorite. Thunder. I'm not making this up. Cushing green. Canyon dusk. Your homework, David. I'm gonna send this list to you by email. I want you to come up with an Ask John and Dave color for each name for each one. Like, I win immediately. Windmill wings, I'm like chicken wings. Golden straw, hey. Thunder, huh? Cushing green, mold.
I mean, is thunder, was it gray?
I have no idea. I just read the name. Then you must have, this truly, I'm not being a smart aleck when I say this. Whoever has the job of naming that, that is a daunting task. Seriously. I don't know. I'm gonna call some people and see who they get to name those colors, because that is a challenge. It's got to be whimsical enough to like get somebody's attention and not be like, yep, this is the 427th shade of tan. We're going to call it oatmeal. I don't know. It struck me as funny. People are like, Gordon, A, yeah. you get a life, B, get back on track. Okay.
He is on track.
My track runs through a different canyon.
Right.
All right. So that was fun with color. Seriously, I think we should do that. In case this Home Depot thing doesn't work out, I'm going to get a job naming paint. What do you mean, cheeseburger? I do. I keep thinking of food. Maybe it's just because I haven't had breakfast yet. All right. 704-570-1110. We'll talk about what's important to you. It's probably not naming colors. David, on a deck, we've talked about this particular product, but I think it stays in our consideration set, especially right now while lumber prices are pretty high. If you were thinking of replacing your deck, just replacing the deck boards, there's a lot of options. One of the things that I know you talked about is you don't have to go back with wood. Talk about the plastic undercarriage that'll support stone and maybe what some people could do. It may have some lumber implications if you have to beef up your undercarriage.
But right, but not as much as covered.
Not as much as like a deck over, right, or a redecking. What options exist there?
Well, the Silka system, or stonedecks.com, is a product that it's a plastic grate that you remove your decking and you screw it down to the joist, and it creates a platform and allows you to install stone, pavers, stone, travertine, any type of long lasting stone. But here's the caveat with that whole thing. If you're going to do it, you probably are going to want to replace your joist. A lot of the stuff in there says you probably don't have to, but take my word, you probably do.
So. Okay. All right, that's fair. All right, we're up against Tim. Tim is calling in with some naming colors. We're out of time. Tim, don't go away because I definitely want to hear your insights, but we got to take a quick break. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lines and label 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to talk about a TJI question in a second, but Tim's been patiently waiting. Tim, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning? So do you have some insights for us, Tim?
I'm going to tell you, on those colors, I believe there was maybe some mind-altering compounds or something.
You went there.
They came up with those names.
You went there.
Yeah, you all have a gentleman at the upper management, David from Asheville, and that kind of sounds like what he would come up with after a late
John,
night.
John doesn't understand that comment because he's in Atlanta. So, although he needs to get the app so he can listen to WBT. But I'll tell you about that later, John.
Okay. Because we were calling another one that came up Smoky Thoughts or High Hopes. All right, Tim. That could explain a lot.
Thanks, Tim.
The grass is greener. Not in this bag. Okay. Enough of that. Wow. David, I'm not sure who your partner will be next week. I guess I'm going to Asheville. All right. Yeah, I'm anxious to hear that story now. All right, 704-570-1110. Save us from ourselves or save us from me. David, we had somebody call in and said they want us to talk about the best way to suspend a load from a TJI truss. It's, well, probably not a truss, just a TJI framing members. I guess the right way to say that. TJI is a brand name, I think, truss joists, whatever.
Right.
But it's a particular framing component that has a laminated equivalent of like a 2x some sort of dimensional lumber on top, OSB middle body running vertically, and then a comparable framing member on the bottom.
Right.
And
it looks like a capital I from the end.
If you look at the edge of it, right, the cross section of it looks like a big I. So great products, by the way, because you can span huge spans, take a lot of the creaking out of floors and different things. But suspending a load from it, David, I have to just be quiet and let you talk to this because, I mean, it's uncertain about exactly what they want to suspend from.
Right, and that's the question. So whatever we say, you can just put it in one ear and out the other and go hire an engineer if it's any significant load. This is probably how I would approach it if I was going to do it. I'm kind of faced with the same thing. I want to put a chain hoist in my shop. I have trusses, and I cannot access from above now because it's covered with 3/4-inch plywood. Well, I guess I could take it off, but I'm not going to. So my thing is I'm going to attach a beam across and catch several of the trusses, and then I'm going to attach a channel at some point with a trolley so that I can slide this apparatus back and forth. In other words, I'm getting too old to lift things off of the truck. So I could use a hoist to do it. And I have I already have one in the shop, a chain hoist. And I pick my brake up with it, you know, John, for breaking metal. It's 10 foot.
Yep.
I used to could pick that thing up and carry it around, and I probably still can, but then I have but I have to lay down for several days afterwards. So, but I think the same principles. I think you have to. An engineer is going to prescribe that you would distribute that load across several of the joist in order to to be safe. And they may tell you, depending on how much it's already loaded, if you already know the height, and if the floor is a lot of builders take it to the limit.
They max it out. Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll stretch them as far as they can, and then when you move in, and I'll give you, for instance, a lot of times when I walk through someone's house, and I'm not a big person, I can hear the china rattling in the cabinets or in a china cabinet, because what's happened is it's put in the joist put in and installed, and they're at the maximum distance they can be, and then you load it with furniture, you put a piano in there, whatever. Now you do have some problems, so you're better off to oversize those and prepare for a load. It's great to stretch them out a long way, John, but
yeah,
you know, instead of using the 9-inch, go to the 12-inch.
Yep,
you know, it's the best way, but. A lot of times, if you're buying a house from, if it's not a custom home, your voice.
The other option is to go to. I didn't look, but I presume that there is a website for Truss Joist, and you could look at there. I can't remember if Truss Joist was bought out, but I think Weyerhaeuser makes a TJI.
They do.
And mm-hmm. So you could probably get online and just take a look at that and get some ideas, or there may even be chat options or a way to send email.
Yeah, if you search enough, you could probably find it. But I think the best thing is to call someone like Intelligent Design Engineering and talk to those guys.
That, there you go.
They can give you some advice pretty quick, and they may already even have some drawings for it. It's probably not going to be that expensive. You may have to wait for them because they're very busy, but it's worth the call if you're going to really put something heavy up there. Talk to those guys because they know exactly what you need to do.
Good deal.
There you
go.
All right,
thank you for that, sir. I appreciate it. If listener, if that does not answer the question, shoot us a note at AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button. And we can tackle that, the Imperial we, which means David.
Speaking of, let's do a question real quick.
All right.
Were you on a roll?
No,
Are we off? Are we done with your?
We're done. We're done. Like
with the list.
Yeah.
Not completely. We're never done.
Because I like my job.
We're never done with the list ever. I just wanted to share this email because I ended up talking with this listener, this emailer. Lee had written in, and he had a pergola on his deck. So he has a deck surface, and then he has this structure with legs that come down and are screwed to the deck, and then on top of it they have a joist, and then they have perpendicular boards going the other direction, and it's for shade, it's for decoration, and they want to use it a little bit more. So he wants to install something like a polycarbonate clear roof panels. So they won't cut the light off, but they will be able to go out there when it's raining and sit and still be able to use the deck, which is a great idea. And you kind of have you're still outdoors, but you can stay out of the rain. The problem that they were having was, John, was the pergola was built flat. So there was no pitch on the roof. So obviously, yeah, if he puts these panels, when it rains,
it holds the water.
The water will hold up. It will build up. Some of it will run off, but most of it will probably run into the cracks,
right,
and come in, and now you're not out of the rain anymore. So they were trying to figure out what would be the best way to solve this problem and get pitch or a slant on this particular item. And the simplest thing is to unfasten it from the porch or from the deck, buy some 2x material, raise it up off of the ground, and cut the post off.
There you go.
It would be the simplest thing. And it was, we just kind of had a good laugh because he said he had envisioned having to take the header loose and do all these things and cut new notches and drop it down. And he said, and then you tell me that all I have to do is raise it up and cut the bottom of the legs off. And it, you know, sometimes it's just that simple. And we overthink things, and I do it all the time. I get finished with something, and I think, huh, I could have saved about a week if I would have did it this way. And I've been doing it a long time. So, but if you're in that situation, what you would do is determine how much you want to cut off. Make sure you maintain at least a 7-foot clearance to get through. You don't want it to get too squatty. But mark your post first, John, and then raise it up, and then you'll make your cut. And if it's a 6x6, you would need to use a circular saw, go all the way around it, and then finish off with a reciprocating saw. And you're done. Lower it back down, screw it back down to the deck.
Boom. Yeah, that's great, because I remember putting up a basketball goal for the kids when we lived in Charlotte, and it was about 6 inches below 10 foot. So I had to tear out the driveway, put a new driveway in that was lower. All right, we got to take a break. 704-570-1110. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show will be back after these very important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lines open, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Another week of great questions. We are grateful for you all. Here comes Dan. Good morning, Dan. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, great, guys. How are you doing?
Fine. How can we help?
Yeah, I have a shower with, I guess, like a stone hot tile in it, and it has that staining. I forgot what you call it, but basically, it's water deposits, minerals, and whatnot. And then it's hard. It's got that dingy look when it's dry. And what is the best way to go about removing that?
I use a palm sander and a Scotch-Brite pad, not the super aggressive one. And because it's stone, I knock it down that way. Now, I have travertine that I clean and seal myself. I don't know what sealant might have been put on there, but I do that twice a year, take all the soap scum. I don't have too much trouble with hard water stains. I've got a couple filter things that solve that for me. That's how I take it off. I hooked my vacuum cleaner to the palm sander so I don't kick up a bunch of soap dust and stuff like that. And then I seal it with, I use the Zep stone and marble sealer, and works great. David, what have I missed?
That's it. That's a great way to do it. You can try it chemically. There's products out there that will take the soap scum off, but you know, if you get it on other things, if you have shower doors that have a frame, anodized aluminum, you can have a problem with the finish on them. So I like John's idea of doing that. It's chemical free. You know, it's probably a little bit of work. I think the sander takes a lot of it out, but still, you know, just to set up and to do all those things is some work, but it's probably worth it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't mind a little bit of work. And in fact, David tried, which is, I found after the fact, was not the best thing. He used a real mild vinegar solution with a lot of water, which tends just to etch it, makes it probably even more apt to such
things. Sure.
So, I know very well about how any kind of chemical can remove the old rough finish on your pictures.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, you get too strong. Usually you end up on an acid-based side, and it can cause a lot of problems. Tell me a little bit about your water.
I say it's water. It's regular city water in Fort Mill. It's probably soaked scum and just over years, probably.
Yeah, you have a little bit of both. Yeah.
It's never been sealed, as far as I know.
That'll help a ton. John, that probably lengthens your time out.
It does. And so I'm due. I think like June and December is when I traditionally do that. I'm due. But if when the water hits the travertine tile on the bottom, it still beads up. Now I also know that I've got some soap buildup on some of that, but the sealant, that's the trick, I think, Dan, is you called it correctly, that when you clean it up, if you open up those pores too much, you just create a better place for the, you know, stains and stuff to hang on. So,
right.
So sealing it, make sure you got the correct product for the type of stone or that you have, but it's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it.
Okay. And this, Scotch-Brite pad, is this something that, and you know, you can buy the sanding paper that's designed to fit your sand already.
Yeah, because I'm a rocket scientist, Dan. I buy those green Scotch-Brite pads, and I have a the hook and loop or attachment for my palm sander. I put that I cut it to the size round like the sander, and I put it on that hook and loop adapter, and away I go.
Sounds good. What color, what grade
do you typically use on the different? So there is a technical, like, David, you know this better than I do. I actually just pick up the green, the pack at the Home Depot of the green. I don't know what their size is.
Maybe. Are they in the cleaning or are they in the paint aisle?
They're in the cleaning. They're in with the cleaning stuff.
Okay, so there's one. That's the one size. You can tell. I think the different colors indicate
how aggressive
it is,
are.
Right. Yeah. So you're probably a medium.
Well, I can certainly start buying and then work my way up.
Yeah, they're not that expensive, so you'll use them for something anyway. But, I mean, if you don't use them, you can take them back. So.
All right, very good. Is that also good for removing the water spots off the shower door itself on the glass?
Yeah, you can use that. That will work. And then there's also some other cleaners out there that that they say will take that off. So, and I tell you, when you're done, if you'll seal those doors or clean them, they make different things. But we just use Rain-X at home.
Rain-X is great.
It does a good job. It's pretty fast. The doors just need to be cleaned, and then don't use any harsh cleaners on the shower doors. If you just use, I think she just uses neutral cleaner at home on the doors. I'm not sure what she's wiping them down with, but they still look brand new. So, but we also have treated our water with a water softener that gets rid of any of the calcium, gets rid of any of the hardness, but it also filters the water.
Right. And that would be a long-term solution for you as well.
That it is. It works great. We really, I'm glad that I did it, and I prepared for it when I built the house. I made a place for it, and it's easily accessible. It's valved off. We have the best of both worlds. So, and I don't have a filter to change every month. It just takes care of itself. When a certain amount of water goes through the machine, it backwashes it and it cleans itself off, and then it goes again.
Gotcha. All right. Well, great information, guys. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your call. Ray, we see you out there. We want to make sure we answer your heat pump question, but we just snuck past the break. We're going to take our break. Be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show right after these messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We are in our lightning round, 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the way to get in. We're going to talk to Ray right now. Ray, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Yes. We've lived in our house long enough to, we're probably looking soon to have to replace heating and air conditioning.
So okay.
Most of the houses around us have already done that. I just wonder about heat pumps and if we should look at replacing our heating and air conditioning with heat pumps.
What type of heat do you have now, Ray?
What type of what?
Heat do you have now?
Gas furnace.
Okay. I think it is my opinion that you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. if you purchase a system called Dual Fuel. And the way Dual Fuel works is it's a heat pump, which is great for air conditioning. And it's also very good for heating at temperate times. And then when it gets really bitter cold, and normally the auxiliary electric heat would kick in to keep the house warm, it kicks a gas-fired heating system in. And so you get very efficient electric heating through the heat pump and very efficient gas heating when you need that extra kick. And that would be, you need to get a qualified person out to do a load calculation and all those things, Ray. But we, David, I'm probably skipping over some detail there, but we think that's probably is the best solution for what Ray's talking about. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I agree. And I mean, the dual fuel costs a little bit more, but if it serves your purpose, then I think you go for it. Now, I just put back in a conventional gas furnace. Now, it's a high efficiency. It's vented with PVC pipe, and it's very, very efficient. We've never had a gas bill over $80 at the house. So it does really well. Now, it has a lot to do with insulation, but we did use very high tech, high efficiency units, air conditioning and heat. So we're pleased with it. It's worth it if the house is insulated and sealed up tight to go that high on the SEER level. But if you're not, you probably should stay middle of the road and spend some extra money on insulation. And then also, if your ductwork is older and it's not sealed, you probably need to stay away from the real high energy efficiency equipment. You're not going to get the efficiency out of it, right?
We would recommend you talk to either Scott Shelton or Zeke Acosta. They are regular guests here. But the reason I would tell you one of those two, and there's lots of great people out there, but they will do the load calculation. They'll do it correctly. And then they're going to look at the overall scenario. And if they say, hey, dual fuel is a great solution, but you're not going to reap the benefit of the initial cost of acquisition in efficiencies, they'll tell you that. And they'll say, don't get this more expensive system because you won't get the benefits of it. So I think that would be the best way to, that's our opinion about the best way to go.
I called to get your opinion and to see what you thought, and I think you've pretty much answered my questions, and
awesome.
I appreciate it very much.
We're glad you called, Ray. All right.
I think when you get in that situation, especially if you have an older home, if it's not energy efficient, if it's not air sealed, I think you're going to probably be more comfortable with a straight gas furnace.
And truth be told, when I replaced ours, because I'm in a 35-year-old house, it was 30 years old or whatever when I replaced the systems, I chose not to go the high efficiency because I knew my ductwork would not support it.
Right.
So, and shame on me because I always just presume you're going to get somebody like Zeke or Scott. David, all those guys out there that we know that are very good. But someone may, if you ask them that, Ray, they may just see the higher price tag on a system and sell it to you because they're going to make more money doing that. And that's not necessarily the way to go. So,
right. Well, yeah, you should always do sell your customer what's best for them in the long run. They're going to have to replace that unit again down the road. And if you want the business, it's kind of the way I see it. But not everybody sees it that way.
No. Short-sighted. Okay. Let's see. I'm going down our list. You were making fun of me earlier. Have we hit everything off on the list? And I actually think that we have. One of the things that I didn't talk about that I wanted to just kind of toss back out there again in the decking arena, I definitely wanted to talk about the stone and other options because I think that that's just good. A, I like the idea, and B, while lumber is expensive, there's other beautiful options. I also wanted to say, because I don't think it's beautiful, and I don't think it's a long-term fix, but it's a legit product. And David, it's like the deck over. There's different names for it. It's that real heavy paint that you put on deck boards. It's very rough, but it covers a multitude of sins. And there's a lot of people who will tell you that's the finish you should put on your deck. I think you and I would say, fine product, but it's a bridge from where you are to something really beautiful.
Right.
Because we could have a color name for that, too. all right. So what else? Product of me. I think we've kind of hit off everything that I wanted to make sure. Glass panels. Okay. That's it. We're just going to be quiet for the next 6 minutes. Do we have additional emails, David? Not that you have pulled up.
Well, that right back with the pink. Dave wrote in and he said, "Here's a few tongue-in-cheek paint colors just for fun: white dandruff, beige sandal bottom, orange Harvey Wallbanger, green algae blue."
See how much fun fun with color.
A new career.
Send us your lists. Maybe, David, you get an email address of the one that makes us laugh the hardest, and I will personally pay for a Home Depot gift card to send to that customer or to dollar. But keep in mind, it's very subjective. It's what fortunate. In the little world that I work in, you know, at the Home Depot, I work in our national accounts group. Anyway, there's a lot of cool things you do. I actually have, I'm a big important guy. I'm not. Our team has a lady named Grace, and I think we should invite Grace on the show. She is an interior designer. I mean, she's the real deal. She did like design packages for like the big, you know, main flags for hotels and, you know, like the Marriott's and Hilton's and all those guys, and super great. She does a lot of things for Home Depot for interior design, but for me, she'll take and she'll put design packages together for our single family home investors. You know, kind of like a good, better, best, and then different, each of the different trends. I call them trends. She laughs at me because I don't know how to talk about interior design at all. But she is amazing. And I would go talk to a customer about product, and she has this beautiful display. And there really is. She would be very angry with me for making fun of color names. Because there is a lot of time and energy put into that and designing and picking the colors. We should have her on just to talk about trends and stuff like that. I'll make that note. So that's my way to say, okay, everybody out there in design world that I just made fun of, I'm sorry. And Grace will be how she – Grace will help once more help me get out of a bad spot and look professional. All right. I think that's it, David. Thank you. Always appreciate having this partnership. Folks, we are – very, very grateful that you spend 2 hours every Saturday morning listening to us. We think it's great. We hope it is as informative for you as it is enjoyable for us. And we want to remind you, as we do each week, that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. And we'll see you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.